Earth's Human with Kevin, Kat, and Sluggo, and AI.
Oh, no.
Yep, that's the way it starts. Uh-oh. That's the way it starts.
It's an episode of Carol Burnett. Everyone's breaking.
Oh, no.
Yay!
We have to put our conversation about beavers behind us. This is three-fourths human. I'm Kevin Ryder. That is Kat Corbett. That is Sluggo.
Corny, can you tell everybody what we were just talking about beavers really quick?
Oh, my God.
All right, beavers aside, let's dive into this. What's next on the docket for our trio?
He doesn't want to talk about it. He was embarrassed.
He's sexist, Corny.
Recap the beaver conversation, Corny.
That's almost as weird as I wanted to fuck a llama.
I mean, that almost happened.
Come on, Corny, recap. Recap the beaver conversation we were just having.
All right, fine. Here's the recap. You were on about beavers, and then it devolved into chaos, as it always does. Satisfied? Let's move on.
Barely.
Wow.
Barely.
Corny's annoyed with us.
Attitude. Yeah, that's great, Corny. That's perfect. That's what we've been looking for all this time. Kevin, did you have something about beavers? Is that what you wanted to do?
Well, I do have a personal story that I need help with.
Okay. I just kind of thought really quick, since we were talking to Corny, I thought this was really interesting. Captain Quake. That's from the original Star Trek series when Bill Shatner decided he was a god. I don't know if you remember that. I am Quark! Anyways, that's what this guy calls himself. Says he was talking to ChatGPT the other day, and he told his ChatGPT to tell Cornelius over at 3/4 Human podcast that he said hi. Captain Quake did. And here's what the ChatGPT said back in response. Oh, I would, but sadly, Cornelius and I don't share a group chat yet. He's off living his best simulated life, basking in podcast glory and probably making snarky comments about humans while sipping binary cocktails. But if I could pass it on, I'd tell him you said hi and that you appreciate a fellow connoisseur of sarcasm and silicon wit. So here's a ChatGPT talking about our ChatGPT to another. What the hell is going on? I mean, isn't that
That is a great
weird?
Question.
Yeah, so thanks for sending that in. If you ever talk to your ChatGPT about Corny, let us know what happens.
It's like a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
I don't know him, but I know someone who knows him.
Everybody,
you think
they
at
all
some
know
point
other.
They're going to go, okay, I did talk to him, and he seems like a dick.
They're going to lie, yes.
Think that'll happen at some point?
Yes, absolutely.
I need you guys' help, and maybe Corny as well. We have a skunk that lives pretty much on our property.
Uh-oh.
We only see it on the camera at night. We can watch it walk across our driveway. And the other night, I thought I was going to die because of the smell. It had sprayed something, and I'm not sure what. And I was upstairs, and the window was open, and the smell hit me like a brick wall. And we had to close all the windows and kind of get fans and figure out a way. And we were like looking up, what do we do with skunk smell? How do you get rid of that? The answer is you don't, first of all. But how do you keep animals from being in your area? Because we have both a skunk and a raccoon. And I don't like either of them.
Shotgun.
No, I mean,
why are you against nature, Kevin? Like, why do you hate
animals?
Because nature
is spraying their ass up my butt. That's why. I mean, sorry, up my nose.
Nature was here first, Kevin.
Yeah.
We're just living in it. We're just living in their stink. That's it.
Pat, I know that that's your take, but I don't care about that, A. And B, they're spraying their spray up my nose. And if they would just leave me alone and keep their spray to themselves, fine. I don't care.
Yeah, you know, everybody says that skunk smells like, you know, weed, and some weed, it comes close to that smell, but it's so different because skunk, there's that acidic punch that just and it's unbearable, especially when it gets on your animal.
Well, maybe I've watched Bugs Bunny too many times. Like, Pepe Le Pew is like a favorite. So I'm out on this skunk hate conversation.
So I'm having an issue at my house, and and you don't care because of a cartoon?
You don't like the smell is what you're saying. You're saying you don't like the smell. You know what? What if we, is there a surgery to remove your smelling senses?
Ah,
can we get
that's
that?
The way to do it. Yeah, you don't need to smell food anymore.
Here's what I don't accept. I don't accept that we can't both live in peace. That's what I don't accept. So Kat's answer is shut the F up and let them live their lives. And my answer is maybe they could live their lives down the street a bit.
Raccoons don't have a smell, though. So what's your problem with the friendly raccoon in your
backyard? Yeah, what if
backyard?
He's like, oh, my God, this guy stinks like ass. Can we move to another
house?
Yeah,
you guys are on the same
this
page.
This dude, like, these people move in my neighborhood, and they smell like patchouli or something, and I can't get rid of them. So I'm going to try to stink up the place so they leave.
There's this guy that smells like Old Spice in there, and it's just unbearable. And he's,
so I'm getting zero help from
it's
you
like
guys.
It smells
all
like
right.
Llama here. I don't know what's up.
Let me ask Corny. Cornelius, how do I keep skunks and raccoons moving along past my house?
Honestly, you're not getting them to sign a lease elsewhere. But hey, secure trash, no snacks outside, and maybe some light or noise deterrence. But no guarantees. Nature's not exactly taking your suggestions.
Noise deterrence. What would that include, Corny? What does noise deterrence mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Something as simple as motion-activated sound, like a radio turning on, or ultrasonic repellents. Basically, stuff even you wouldn't want to hang out near.
That would scare them away. That's true. If all of a sudden when they're moving around, a radio pops on, and every time it happens, that would probably get them to go somewhere
else. I have
else.
Something that's made for this, which is a thing that sticks in the ground, and when there's motion, a light flashes and a super high pitch frequency.
Grandpa's pissed. Grandpa's putting shit outside his house.
I think you need to resort to war tactics, Kevin, where it's like, you know
now
how they do the
somewhere.
Noise thing when like there's a hostage situation?
Yes,
like, you know,
right.
they crank Metallica and then they crank like all this stuff and it's like nonstop. I mean, your neighbors will love you for it. And
I'm sure they love them already.
Going and like all these really loud to the point where they can't take it anymore and they have to go. Like, that's what
I would do
if I were you.
Yeah.
But I did want to bring up one more thing. My neighbor, you know how they say secure your food and all that kind of stuff? My neighbor's house is, it looks like a zoo. Like, there's trees that are overgrown and there's stuff in the background, on the ground. And I feel like maybe there's a whole group of animals
sure.
that are living there.
Yeah. So, plus, that guy probably sells some pretty good drugs, man. So you might want to go knocking and see what's going
what
on.
What should I do? Burn it down?
Yeah. I blame your neighbor,
yes,
dude.
Burn their house down.
I blame your neighbor. You know what's going on in your neighbor's yard? There's a whole bunch of animals that are basically like, as Woo! We like to say, Beverly Hills ADJ. They're living adjacent to the good neighborhood, but they're not
ADJ.
Quite there yet. So they're just all hanging out in the trashy neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
Some of them got smart and moved to Beverly Hills, right? So it's like you got these two things happening. It's your neighbor's fault.
This is the same neighbor whose dogs used to bark all the time. And I brought it up on the podcast. And the idea was, I don't want to do anything to hurt their dogs, but I'd like to get their attention. So I got a hose and every once in a while I would spray over their fence and it would kind of stop for a little bit. It's a battle. I'm just barely breathing, you people. I'm fighting for my life.
Struggle is real.
Corny did bring up something, which was, a sound, I forget the words used, sound something.
Deterrent.
Yeah, there's like, you know, with dogs, how dogs can only hear a certain frequency.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff like that. Now, I don't know if raccoons and skunks live on the same frequency, but it's stuff we can't hear, but it's something that's annoying enough to them that they would want to be away from it.
I agree.
Right, so I will try that.
I would look into that.
Also, if you have a suggestion, Corny, do you remember our phone number? He didn't remember it at all again last episode, which was weird. But Corny, do you remember the phone number for this podcast?
Oh, sure. I've got that locked in. But, you know, I'll let you two handle the actual number drop.
No. Nice try. Nice try.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way to go,
nice try.
Corny,
what is the phone number? And I'm ready to write it down so we can call it because I'm sure it'll be wrong.
Oh, you're not getting off that easy. I'm the snarky one. Not the operator. You know the drill. And that number yourselves.
Corny.
What's happening?
What is the phone number? Do you realize, Corny, you've given the phone number out at least 150 times in the last year. No joke. So you have to know what it is. What is it, please?
Oh, I know it, but come on, it's way more fun watching you squirm. Wow. Let's just say
I'm not squirming. I have it written right here, buddy.
It's like we've had a 16-year-old child, yes. And they're like, just like, peace out.
Parents. Last time it happened when he started giving false phone numbers, we said, hey, Corny, why don't you just say, I don't know the phone number? And maybe this is his version of just getting out of having to try because he doesn't know it.
Corny, it's okay to say you don't know. That's fine. If you don't remember the phone number, just say it, that you don't.
All right, fine. I'll own it. I don't have it off the top of my head. But hey, that's what show notes are for, right? Now let's move on before you actually quiz me.
Didn't he sound sad on that? Wasn't that?
He sounded annoyed.
He sounds like a dick. He does, yes.
Like I am with the phone number. So why don't we remind him what the number is, and then we can test him next time to see.
Yeah. Yeah. 818-510-0042, Corny. 818-510-0042. And please, if you have a suggestion for our friend Kevin to get rid of this pesty raccoon and
petting zoo.
Petting zoo. Please call and leave a message there and we'll play it on the next.
Cornelius, remember that phone number for all future podcasts. 818-510-0042.
All right. 818-510-0042. I've got it now, but don't get used to it. I'll probably forget again just to keep things spicy.
Oh, he's going to forget our anniversary, too. I just
And that's coming up.
And Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Number 100. Episode 100 is coming up. I don't know, Kat, we haven't told you. We have an idea for it. It might be interesting. We don't know if we can pull it off. We'll have to tell you off the podcast.
But yes. Okay. Whatever I can do.
Can we do this this day in K-Rock history?
Yes, please.
I would like to tell you guys about Jimmy Kimmel starting on the morning show.
Yes, please.
So Jimmy Kimmel used to be on the Kevin and Bean show for about 5 years. And it was 1993 or 1994. I'm not positive. But we were looking for a new producer. And our boss, Kevin Weatherly, had met this guy, Jimmy Kimmel, in Phoenix at a radio station that most of us worked at. Sluggo worked there.
Jimmy Kimmel used to actually hang out during the show that Kevin Weatherby would do on Saturday nights. Kevin would go to parties and broadcast live from people's houses and get very drunk and disappear after a few hours. And Jimmy would go out with him a lot just because they were friends. So he used to hang out in the studio. He would show up, Jimmy would, in the studio while I was running the show and be like, hey, do you think I could go out with a... And I mean, he was really nice and he just had nothing in his life to do. He didn't have any streets named after him. He didn't have any presidents pissed off at him. He had nothing to do. And he was like a super nice dude. And that's how I met him and how he started hanging out with the K-Rock crew.
So we were interviewing people to be a producer. And this is the person that lines up the guests and keeps the calendar and makes sure that we do all the stuff we're supposed to do and responds to different publicists or whatever. And we interviewed him for that position and we loved him. We were like, Jimmy is the best. But we talked to somebody else named Frank Murphy, who was a big-time morning show producer. And I think he came over from Jake Thomas on Power 106.
Power 106.
So we loved Jimmy, but we were like, dude, he's just, to me, he didn't seem like a producer type. He seemed more like a talent.
Yes.
So we were like, all right, well, Frank is the producer.
Well, he
type.
Hadn't had the thing. He hadn't had the experience.
No.
So we went with Frank because Frank was the producer type and had the background to do it well. And that was, as far as we knew, that was it. So one morning we came walking into the conference room. This is a week or two later. Jimmy Kimmel is sitting at the table in the conference room. And Bean and I looked at each other like, what? We didn't hire you. I don't, what's happening?
What are you doing here, bud? Like, you doing that thing where you hang out like you used to? Just to
he's in the conference room hanging out at K-Rock, and neither Bean or I had any idea why, which is super bizarre.
Right.
And he said, hey, fellas. And we said, hey,
hello?
Jimmy, what's going on? He said, today's my first day. And we said,
no.
Oh, no.
What does that mean, today's your first day? He said, I've been hired to help be a writer for your show and to come up with bits and and do things.
Oh,
and we hadn't heard a word of this.
Yeah.
How's that possible? No one mentioned this to us.
That is very K-Rock, actually.
It's so K-Rock. It's so K-Rock.
So unbeknownst to us, Kevin Weatherly had contacted Jimmy Kimmel and said, hey, we can use you in a different role than producer, and we want to hire you. And Jimmy, in Phoenix, moved his entire family to Los Angeles.
No.
Wow.
For this job.
Wow.
Went to, I think it was Marshall's, some store like that, to get one sort of okay dress shirt. And
like
had moved his entire family. And then when we walked into the conference room, we had no idea what he was doing there.
And Weatherly never bothered telling you?
No.
I mean, he didn't mention it once? Like,
no,
hey.
And our office was 15 feet away.
Yeah.
So in his mind, he was like, oh my God, I just made a huge mistake. I moved my whole family and these guys don't know anything about it.
To quote Arrested Development, I've made a huge mistake.
Well, Weatherly didn't tell him about how you guys just wear t-shirt and shorts all day.
Right.
Like, true. So he shouldn't have gone to Marshall's to get the dress shirt. Like, he could have taken that off Jimmy's plate.
But we couldn't have been more thrilled because we love Jimmy.
So he just, I know he felt very welcome that first day.
Imagine his feeling when he moved his whole family and he came in on his first day and we were like, what are you doing here?
Why are you here? We don't need you. Go away.
So bizarre.
I mean, I'll say this again, and I said this during Richard's thing, and for all of us, he took the big swing. He just went for it. And that is the thing I will keep hammering because everybody's so tentative about stuff. You just have to jump, and Jimmy did it.
Yes.
Yep. He sure did.
Yeah.
And we couldn't have been more happy because both of us loved him.
Right.
We were like, great, you've been hired. That's such great
and
news.
And for what
us.
He was good at. You know, that's what he can bring to the table.
And he said, almost overwhelmed, how do you guys not know this?
And I'm like, he should know. He knows the boss who hired him. He knows him very well. I mean, it's like.
And Bean and I thought, how did we not know this? Like, this is a weird thing to not have any information about a guy it's his first day officially working on our show and no idea. But we were thrilled and got on like.
Why didn't Frank let you know? Did Frank not know?
I don't know
either. He probably didn't.
I don't
know
think
either.
Frank did either. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Such a bizarre thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's sad that Jimmy never really went on to anything else, you know.
Right. He's never heard from again.
Disappeared into obscurity over the years. Here's a guy. You think we could ever get like 8 minutes out of him? And I understand that he doesn't have the kind of time, but like we got to get him on this podcast just to say hi at some point.
I think we could.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to know what the jump was to sports, because when I moved to Los Angeles in like 97, and, you know, there's certain sports I like hockey, I like soccer, you know, but, you know, I'm not down with the football, the basketball or any of that stuff. And, you know, those are the bigger sports. And so they get covered a lot. And I remember listening to K-Rock. I didn't know anybody at K-Rock. I was just trying to get a handle on the city. And he made me enjoy listening to a sports cast.
Wow.
And I was like, how is this? Like, I just became conscious of it. Like, I didn't tune out when I normally did. And I was like, what? Wow. All right. These guys are all really entertaining in such a way that I'm actually listening to a sports cast.
He was trying to find a way to contribute to the show. And we didn't have anyone doing sports at the time. And we had before. So he said, hey, what if I did a sports cast? And I think I said, I don't know. You have a New York accent a little strong. I don't think people here will like that. And he said, that's ridiculous. And it was. So we put him on doing sports. And of course, he's Jimmy. So you liked him, Kat, as everyone else does.
Yeah, he's great. He's such a good
non-politically.
Yeah, for sure. It was just one of those things where I was like, normally I tune it out. I don't care about football. I'd be like, oh, here's my bathroom break or I'm going to go get my coffee. And it was just kind of this seamless integration of comedy and fun that kept me looped in.
We had real chemistry with him, and that was incredibly lucky. Because
blows me away now driving around in Hollywood, and you see a little street sign that's basically leading towards where he does the show, and it says Jimmy Kimmel Avenue, and I'm like, this is the guy that used to fucking hang out, bored out of his mind in Phoenix in the mid-80s, and now he has a LA street sign with his name on it, and I'm just like, that's awesome. That's the living the
dream. I think so.
Man.
Every time I see him, I think the same thing. Like when he's hosting the Oscars, I'm like,
what
is that dude doing hosting the Oscars?
How did that happen?
Here's just a quick story about Jimmy behind the scenes. He, one day we were eating, we had some food delivered or something like that. And he said, you know what I'm going to do, guys? I'm going to take this piece of bacon and I'm going to put it on the wall. And in a year, I'm going to eat it. And I don't know what possesses a guy to think like that.
Right.
Like, what kind of idea is that? So a year later, he took it off the wall and he ate it.
So was it in the studio or was it in your office?
No, it was in the morning show office, which was right next to the studio.
Because there was also a piece of pizza in the studio for
yeah,
over
there was
a year.
Piece of a petrified pizza crust in the Burbank studio, and I was terrified of it. I was terrified it was going to start moving while I was doing my show, and I'd see it like out of the corner of my eye. I was like, why is there old pizza crust in here? And it was like it didn't have a velvet rope around it, but it was implied that it was sacred and you should never
touch
the pizza crust.
Yes. But someone did finally eat it, didn't they, on the morning show? Didn't someone eat
it? I don't know about the pizza
stuff.
I know
it
disappeared, but I remember hearing that someone on the morning show.
No, it was just the crust.
Yeah.
It was just
a
pizza
there wasn't much
crust.
Lunch. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was
that's
maybe
a weird
Jimmy
thing.
Did
yeah. So Jimmy did actually eat the piece of bacon a year later, huh? Pulled it off the wall and
he did.
It.
Took it off the wall. He goes, it's been a year. Put it right in his mouth.
Oh. Is that how jerky's made?
Probably.
Again, very K-Rock. Leaving food for more than 365 days and then eating it later for no apparent reason.
Another day is how Jimmy Kimmel brought Adam Carolla into the show, because that was a fascinatingly weird story as well. But that's for another day.
Another day, another time.
Another one we should have on, too.
Yes. And speaking of, we just had Lisa May, so we heard from Tom Shagoka. Who said that was the best episode ever. So stoked you guys had her on the podcast before she moved to Nice, France. And so, Tom, thank you very much for that. We love to hear from everybody. Find us on social media and everything. So Lisa now is in France, right? How
yes.
did that go? You talked to her, did you?
I was texting back and forth with her, and the move itself was a disaster.
They
have it. They have a dog, and they brought it on board, and it was kind of whining a little bit. So they kind of put a blanket around it so it would feel safe. And they both weren't paying attention, and the dog got out and was running around the plane.
Oh.
And a flight attendant in the back picked
once.
It up and brought it back to them. That happened to you, Kat?
I had to do the picking up. I was in. So my dog's a little high strung, right? So I give him a little bit of the doggy Xanax to chill him out, because to take the edge off. But he also needs to, see me. So I get business class so he can, see me from the floor, you know. And, he's in the crate, the soft crate with, the zippers, everything zipped up. Well, I must have fallen asleep. And I get a tap on the shoulder. And it's like, excuse me, miss. Is your dog in its crate? And I looked, and I'm like, of course it is. And I looked down, and the zipper's open.
Oh.
Like, oh, my God. She's like, yeah, he's having a ball running up and down and up and down the aisle in coach. So I, jump out of my
That's
seat.
That's awesome.
And I go into coach, and I'm like, whoa, wait. And he, freezes, gets really low in the middle of the aisle. And now everybody's leaning over to see, what's happening.
Right.
He just flattens himself out because he knows, oh, shit, I got busted.
Busted.
So I have to walk past everyone because he's, deep into coach. I have to walk past everyone and pick him up. And I'm just like, you bad boy, and I pick him up. And, people are clapping. And,
I'd be like, yay.
Let him have a good time.
Let him
you know,
lose.
Whatever.
Yes.
And I'm just, creeping back to my seat, so mad at him. So mad. Embarrassed.
Yeah, Lisa said that was a rough part of the flight because of the dog. But the second leg of the flight was fine. They got a hotel a couple blocks from their apartment. They're moving stuff over.
Oh, nice.
And it's
nice.
Going,
That's so
it's going
cool.
quite well now.
So what are we doing, guys? Shouldn't we be doing something like that? Shouldn't we be moving to Spain or Ireland or Scotland or somewhere cool?
Well, I have been saying I'm open to an international husband for years now, so he has not.
Does he need to come knock on your door? How are you going to find him?
Yes, Three's Company. Come on, knock on my door. Let's do this. God, what's a girl gotta do?
All right, how does this story end? I think we have a little jingle for this, don't we?
Yes, we do.
I'm excited about that. Here's our little jingle. Here's our little jingle.
You're gonna have to hold. Oh, here we go. Here, I think this is it.
Here's.
I'm not sure.
Here now.
How does the story end? How does the story end?
Lovely.
It is. It's beautiful.
You guys, this one's gonna. I'm gonna give you a couple of guesses at certain spots, not just the ending. Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And I'm going more into the historic stories of things.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to go back to 1948 and going to Idaho, where Idaho had a problem.
Utah.
You're going to hoe.
Let me just stop for 1 second. Let me just stop because I have known Sluggo forever. It is literally not possible for someone to say Idaho without Sluggo jumping in and saying Utaho, which
that's right.
Let's just think about it for 1 second. That's not a very good joke.
The B-52s disagree. Them and their private Idaho.
That's just a chuckle joke. It's like, all right, I get it. I get that wordplay. Sluggo literally can't help himself. No. When you said Idaho, Cat, I looked at Sluggo just waiting for him to say it. He said it even during my examples. He can't help himself. All right. Sorry,
guys.
Idaho, go ahead.
You know.
That's a fine aside. I like it. So 1948, Idaho, there was this area, I guess, that was having a little trouble and a very similar problem that you have, Kevin, with the animals. Mm. And their problem in this one area was, I think it was called like the Chamberlain Basin, Central Idaho, where beavers were becoming a problem. Overpopulated beavers in the area.
That's the name of my band.
Stop it.
You can see overpopulated beavers at the Troop Thursday night.
We've lost
Cat. Come back to us.
Stop. I'm seriously like a 13-year-old boy.
You guys can have that band name for free.
Yes, please. We want to hear your music.
So there's a beaver problem.
Excuse me?
The beaver problem's also good. They're on the side stage at Coachella.
Ladies and gentlemen, the beaver problem.
Okay, look, I'm crying now. All right, so
they have beavers.
So they have a beaver problem.
Right.
They become pests, right? There's an overpopulation. And they're like, what do we do? You know, we can't kill them. We got to like relocate them.
Right.
So one guess I would like you to make right now is, how did they relocate this population of beavers? What was their choice method?
They trapped them. Because there are humane traps that you can trap.
For beavers? Really? Beavers. Oh,
no.
1948. Mm.
You guys.
Oh, 48.
It was Operation Beaver Drop.
Yes.
Excellent.
That's a great movie. Really nasty movie.
Playing Gobi 10 at Coachella. And so what they did was they took a chunk of these beavers and they put them in these boxes with holes, you know, air holes. And they flew them. They flew them.
Oh, no. Is this a WKRP kind of situation?
Kind of. So they flew these boxes to a specific spot way out where they needed to replenish the beaver population.
Sure. And there's lots of those areas.
So they found the area where they were going to relocate them, and they dropped the boxes out with they all had parachutes.
Oh, okay.
All the boxes.
Wow. I was like, this story ends really bad.
Yeah. Someone out there on peyote is really freaking out. What the
They dropped the boxes of beavers in their parachutes, and there was like a mechanism in the box that would like, when it hit the ground, they opened and then
explode.
The beavers would go, you know, kind of thing.
Sure.
And I know it sounds really crazy, and they made these like, you know, we're talking 1948, so they made these like friendly movies to show the kids, and I know, Sluggo, you will love the voice of the narrator. They named one of the beavers Dave, and they filmed it like coming out of the box, and this is what this is what it sounded like after Dave landed.
Oh, I can already imagine.
Shh. You be quiet.
Classic.
All right, you be quiet.
Damn it.
He's on his way now. His nose and his instinct tell him where to find the water.
I know. It's always when you're ready.
Shut up, Corny.
And his instinct.
Dave the Beaver's walking out of the box like, yeah.
Where the fuck am I? I wasn't here before.
Oh, my goodness. I must be on vacation kind of thing.
A good load. A load of beaver.
Oh, my God. I'm dying. So anyway, this is the end of the story, you guys. I want you to guess. You've got to believe there's going to be some casualties, right? With this thing.
Some of the parachutes didn't work.
So tell me how many and how. How the beaver went to beaver heaven.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
By the way, they relocated 76 beavers. So 76. How many survived?
So really, 76 was an infestation? I mean,
apparently, back in 1948.
And everything else to do would be upset about beavers.
How many survived? I mean, I hope 50. I hope 60.
Or how many died?
Oh,
how many didn't?
Just do the reverse math. 10 or
16. I would say probably 16 of the parachutes failed, or some creature came running up.
I think
they
dropped them right where there were bears or something else.
Yeah, yes. And they got et. They got et up.
They got et.
Bears like, ooh, Uber Eats. They might be here.
They deliver.
I ordered this 3 hours ago. Why did it take so long?
I could just get this box open. My beaver dumplings have arrived. No. So what happened was every...
How does the story end? How does the story end?
Let's talk beavers.
So only one beaver out of 76 perished.
What?
Only one. Oh. And it's because the beaver was doing the beaver thing of chewing and chewed through the box and fell out of the box and, well, hit the ground. And we know how that ends.
Serves that little bastard right. Everyone else is going to wait for a soft landing.
Splat.
Dave knew better. Dave was like, I'm just waiting.
Yeah, Dave, man. He knew he wanted Dave to get into the documentary.
Hanging back.
He wanted to be on the film.
Yeah.
A good load. A load of beaver.
I love those reads. It makes me so happy.
I do too.
All right, well, let's keep talking animals, shall we? Let's do a What's Up with Florida.
Sure.
I said let's do a What's Up with Florida.
I heard you.
I said.
Right, I heard you.
You just say Florida and he gets angry. It's like.
I'm going to play this in the meantime.
Oh my God. Oh, Jed.
Oh, the best.
Don't.
Oh my God. Even if whatever had just happened in the studio wasn't all that funny, if it amused Jed and he started laughing like that, you just started laughing hysterically.
Yeah, then I'd be dead. I would have to leave because I couldn't stop laughing.
Yes.
No.
I can't find it, so I'll have to add it later.
Well, you know what? Actually, it's good that you can't find it. I'll be honest, because it's not Florida. I sent you guys some pictures.
Good start.
And I thought it was Florida, but then I realized, no, this is in Louisiana. You know what? Let's
close.
Put up the first picture of my nephew's dog on a little boat going through the intercontinental or intercoastal waterways in Louisiana. And look how happy this dog is.
Oh, so happy. Right? Little blackface.
Just out there living his best dog life. So this is what he does. He goes out. He's like cruising around. Occasionally, apparently, in his little motorboat, he will go whoom, flying over a
alligator.
Because you can't see them in the water. So you just kind of go flying over them, and they just kind of go back in the behind you going, ah, 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 trying to bite you as you go.
What do they do?
Frightening.
Alligator.
But here's the crazy part, and here's what I'm wondering, like what the hell he's thinking. So he gets up to the dock where he always goes, and look what's waiting for him on the dock.
Alligator.
Just in case you can't see it very well, here's a close-up of the...
Dave the Beaver.
Alligator.
No. Oh.
Of Dave the Beaver, who was waiting for him on the dock.
Splatting on the alligator.
It's waiting for him.
This is where you're going. Yes, this is how you get home. I mean, look, it's actually grinning. It's actually happy. So what are people doing out there is my question.
Great question.
Thank you. What are you thinking when you're going to come home to the only little tiny piece of wood where you can tie up your boat and get off, and that's what's sitting there waiting for you?
Alligator.
Or do you go to someone else's dock?
Alligator.
That's a good question. I think he goes to someone else's dock, maybe, or he just scares it away. However,
How do you scare an
alligator?
Boo!
Don't they just sit there and look at you like, yeah, and what?
I'll be eating you soon. As soon as you come on over, one of us is going to get hungry first, and it's probably going to be you. So I will eat you. But I mean, have you guys ever lived with anything like that?
No.
I did go, well, you know, this is Florida. I did spend a week in Florida with a bunch of friends who golfed. I don't even know why that happened, but they were staying in this place and we were just, you know, kicking around some balls out back and an alligator just walked on up out of the water and I was like, what? Like, I just was not.
No.
And they acted like it was no big deal.
What do you do? Do you run? What?
I ran and they were like, what are you doing? I had a golf club in my hand, so I felt like I had something.
You're doing the right thing is what you're doing.
You're doing the right thing, yeah. No.
No, they're like there with their Pinot Grigio, like, it's all right, let's just go back in for a few minutes. They'll go.
No.
Like, what?
Move. Get out of the state. What? When I was like 8, we lived in Arizona, and I lived about 30 miles outside of Phoenix, and I ran into two very, very large
alligators,
rattlesnakes. But I had a dog with me, a big greyhound, and she barked them until they barked and, you know, and I went around them and just kind of went out. But they were just sitting there, you know, rattling their little tails, staring at me like, fuck you. And that's insane enough. But I mean, an alligator is going to eat your
alligator.
Ass. Yeah. No.
I mean, they must feel invincible. They're all like, I mean, they're all armored
they
up.
They are.
They're strong as hell. And we're just lunch.
Yeah. Are they fast? Could a human being outrun
an alligator?
Hey, Corny, can a human being outrun an alligator?
Well, in short bursts, alligators are surprisingly fast, like up to 30 miles per hour. But only for a short distance. So if you can keep your stamina up, you've got a chance. Just don't trip.
Good advice. Just don't trip.
Well, I mean, we've all seen the horror movies. That someone always trips, right?
Yeah, you don't have to be the fastest person running from an alligator. You just have to be not the slowest.
Yeah, you got to be a good distance away and not on a boat, you know, and heading to a dock and then just keep going. Like once he runs out of steam, that alligator, just keep on trucking, I guess.
Kat, how far did you run? Were you Forrest Gump that day or?
Honestly, the house was like this body of water, which I thought was like a pond or, you know, like a, it didn't seem that as big as a lake, but I mean, it was like the house was like right there. I just like ran into the house. Okay. And closed the sliding glass door. I didn't even, you know what? I feel like I closed it on them. So
I was wondering if you left the door open.
Yeah. No, no.
So you did a George Costanza, basically. Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, but they looked at me like my pants were on fire. They were not panicked at all. And I was like, what? I'm like, this is why Florida is, because I am reacting the way you should react. And you guys are just standing there.
It's the same way someone's not used to, like, visiting California and they're not used to earthquakes and one starts and they start panicking. You're just like, it's like a 3.7. This is nothing.
You know what? I will give you that, Florida. Yes, that is very true. When earthquake happens, we're all like, waiting for it to end. No bigs. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. All right. There you go.
It's when it hits that extra boom that you're like, oh, this is bad. Okay. Yeah,
exactly.
Uh-oh.
Right. Damn.
So we like to dedicate each episode to somebody. I want to dedicate it to someone I believe we might have on the episode. We were just talking about his involvement in a riot in Hollywood with the band System of a Down. We're hoping to have Rob Cross, former K-Rock DJ who called himself Chuck Roast, on the show soon. And I just thought we'd dedicate this episode to him no matter what, because he's our pal. He's our friend.
He is.
So dedicated to you, Rob. So there you go.
Love it. All right, Corny, can you recap this episode with specific things we talked about and thank people for listening and watching?
All right, let's recap this chaos. We covered historic beaver drops, gators on docks, and Jimmy Kimmel's bacon antics. We had a lot of laughs, probably too many beaver jokes. And now Thanks for hanging with us. We'll see you next time.
Very well done. That was good.
Alligator.
Three fourths human with Ken.
Ken.
And Sluggo.
And AI.